time and time and time again, both Reading and West Brom failed to take one of their chances to win on Easter Monday. But the sunny, bouncing Madstad crowd were happy with a point nonetheless, as it all but guaranteed the Royal survival for another season of Championship football. Welcome to episode 193 of the Tarleston podcast. It really is mission survival complete. Well, we're saying it is anyway. Let's hope Rotherham don't go and bash 18 goals in the next two games. And if they do, quite frankly, good luck to them. I'm Mark Mayer, your host, as per usual. And joining me this week is the editor of thetarleston.com, Simeon Pickup. How's it going, mate?
Absolutely fantastic. Great to finally get over the line. So, yeah, buzzing at the moment.
Yeah, and an interesting game. I so sorely wanted us to get a winner in the you know, late chances that we had. Obviously, West Brom had late chances as well, but wasn't to be. And you know, sitting back here now and realizing that, in you know, effectively we have done it. It almost feels a bit strange. It almost feels like I certainly didn't expect it to come at this point of the season. So let's have a chat after the break and go into the Bristol. We'll have a quick word on Bristol City and the West Brom recap, and then news bites, mailbag, and preview that final away game of the season up at Middlesbrough.
View from the Tarlhurst end. Recapping this week's Championship action.
As promised, let's have a little note to the side on the Bristol City game to begin with. On a Good Friday, 1-1 draw, went ahead with a very nicely worked free kick the Akumeto scored, and then perhaps a bit of a dodgy keeping for the equaliser a bit late on, but ultimately a good point. My sort of take on it at the moment, Sim, is that a colleague who was there that day said to me that we just put five men at the back and we set up to defend and break, and I don't see there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, it's good that Gomez has started to be a bit more pragmatic with his tactics. To be honest, the fact that he's recognised that a while ago we were playing teams like Leeds and Sheffield United and just getting absolutely battered, basically, and didn't have much of a hope of getting anything off them. But more recently, he's decided that going five at the back is a much better way to go, and just absorbing pressure and taking the chances that we do get on the counter. And it's working absolutely wonderfully. The fact that we're getting a point at Ashton Gate and getting a point at Norwich as well just goes to show how effective it's been.
And then we went back to the 4-3-3, which I was really pleased with before the West Brom game, to be honest. I thought the 11 that started against West Brom is certainly our best 11 at the moment, with Baker, Ajari and Minamoto in midfield behind Oliveira, Mate and Barrow. Seemed like it was nice to know that Gomez was willing to go back to the sort of win strategy, as it were, as opposed to the draw strategy, if we could call it that. And however, the start of the game, I think the first half was a bit more, was certainly a lot more tight than the second half. West Brom sat in quite a bit. We knocked it down to little effects, and of course in the first 12 minutes we lost Nelson Oliveira and Yaku Mate to injuries. Let's assume it's pretty much their season over. I certainly can't imagine Oliveira coming back. It looked like his hamstring again. And you know, it was a big blow, but ultimately I think the players that did come on, Gareth McCleary in particular, did a pretty decent fist of it, and it didn't disrupt us too much.
Yeah, I thought McCleary in particular was it was a mature performance, to be honest. He you could see his experience play through a lot, particularly in the second half when we really had to manage the occasion as much as anything else, and his experience really helped us. I guess on the other hand, Danny Loader just looked raw, to be honest. Had a really good chance in the second half that he didn't take advantage of in particular. Otherwise wasn't too effective. You want to see him develop in the long term and really kind of get that experience under his belt, but at the moment he's not quite so effective. But I think all round, the fact that we're talking about Oliveira and Mate going off in the first quarter of an hour, and the team to then really pull their socks up, really kick on in the second half and actually put in a better attacking performance after the break and really look like we probably should have won the game, to be honest, it's a big credit to their psychology, to their mentality, that they're able to really knuckle down and really bounce back in tough circumstances, seeing two of your better attacking players go off.
Yeah, that psychology element is something we've been absolutely lamenting for, oh, God knows, 18 months longer or so now. And yeah, I think it is good to see a team that is, you know, with it mentally and able to sort of kick on throughout the course of the game. Just a quick word on Danny Loader. I felt like when he dropped into, you know, being a bit of a central attacking midfielder role, I felt like his movement and everything is good and he gets into the right positions, which is nice. So I think his potential's certainly there, but the old adage that if you're good enough, you're old enough, he's not at the moment. He's just not quite good enough to play in the Championship. So for next season, do you see, do you think it'll be wise to send him out on loan? Because, I mean, he plays like a player who's not scored in the Football League yet, which is where he's at. And do you think he could go to League One? Do you think he'd go to League Two? Where's your sort of preference for him at the moment? Or, of course, you know, stay in the team.
I don't think loan spells are necessarily a banker of getting someone experienced and really helping them mature. You look at, say, Andy Renamota, who I don't believe he went out on loan at all. He was only playing in the academy and then impressed there and came through into the first team. It depends what Jozo Gomez thinks is the best way of maturing Loader, essentially. He's certainly got the ability. He's certainly got the belief, I would say. He certainly tries things when he's in the team, which is to his credit. But he really needs to just get that extra bit of knowledge. Maybe that will come from playing in the lower leagues, but some players have gone into the lower leagues, tried to play men's football and just not quite got to grips with it. I seem to remember Aaron Cole going out to, I think it was Boreham Wood, and barely even played, let alone kind of really impressed. And Josh Barrett, another more recent example, going to Coventry last season and not impressing for them, despite dropping down a few divisions in a bid to kind of get some more regular football. So it's not for everyone. It can be a kind of a make or break thing. It can really show you if a player's mature and is ready to kick on, or it can show you that they're not ready and they're probably not going to go too far in their career. But it's a tough decision that Gomez has got to make, really.
Yeah, and I think it boils down to expectations as well. If the fans are happy for Danny Loader to play, you know, 15 games next season and maybe score one or two goals and maybe only two of those games are starts, and even when things aren't going well, they're happy to say, you know what, he's not quite ready yet, then I think that'll do him better than either trying to force the issue and demand that he starts every game, or you know, as you say, the loan move that doesn't work is very difficult to see compared to the loan move that does work. And I would also point out that, you know, at the end of the day, we have still got a very impressive striker lineup. We've got John Daly Bavarsson, Sam Baldock, who I assume just wasn't fit enough. He'd come back, I think it's a long-term hamstring injury he was coming back from, so I just assume that he wasn't able to come on as early as Oliveira came off. And, you know, obviously players like Yaku Mate, and hopefully we'll keep someone like Nelson Oliveira. So there are plenty of options for Jose Gomez to work with. And yeah, let's see what it does with Loader. One player who, well, a couple of players who I thought certainly kind of pop up in the summer and certainly going to certainly on my books had an exceptional game today. First one was Lewis Baker, and also Emiliano Martinez had another good game. But I think the second half, the way that it opened up and the way that Reading had to, you know, press the ball at certain times, had to react, had to play, you know, a bit more naturally, weren't able to just knock it round, had to get the ball out of their feet a lot quicker. And Lewis Baker was exceptional at that, I think, because his mind was always, you know, I think it's so important for a player to, when he gets the ball, to already know what he's going to do with it. And it seemed to me like every time he got the ball, his mind was always already saying, right, this is what I'm going to do. Whether it's having a shot from 40 yards to catch the keeper off the line, or to play in a good through ball, or to just spread the play out. His evolution in that sort of registrar, deep line playmaker role at the heart of the midfield has really worked for Reading. And I think it's a great thing for Jose Gomez to be able to show off, because it's obviously under his management it's happened. But also, looking forward into the summer and everything, Baker is one of those players who I can't imagine Chelsea really keeping. And it just comes to a point where you say, look how good... I haven't seen him play too much at Borough and Leeds, but I can't imagine he was playing this well. You say to a player, look how well you're playing, I can't imagine why he wouldn't necessarily want to stay around.
Absolutely, and there comes a time in a player's career when they realise that they're not going to necessarily get a chance higher up for their parent club, and they just need to make the most of being settled at a really good club when they can. And the fact that he's come into this side, and I think in the first couple of weeks he looked a little bit unsure, perhaps tactically. We didn't know quite what to do with him, whether he was going to be a number 10 or more of a kind of a box-to-box midfielder. But now that we've worked out he's absolutely at his best, just sitting in front of the back four where he can get on the ball at the most he possibly can and dictating play, he's really starting to thrive in it. And he surely can recognise that as well. And going forwards, he's very popular with the fans. He's very much a key part of this side, and there's no reason why if he didn't stay he can't be really making the most of his potential. And he's still a young guy, could quite easily improve a lot with Reading and get back into the Premier League that way. If he does go back to Chelsea, he risks either not going on out on loan at all and just wasting himself basically in Chelsea's reserves, or going out on loan and picking a really bad club, as he has done with, not him picking it, but going to a bad fit in Middlesbrough and Leeds, where he just really didn't kick on from an impressive loan spell at Vitesse Arnhem.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Jose Gomez then. He spoke to the club after the game. Let's hear his comments, and then we'll pick up on the other side of the recap and discuss exactly where Reading are going to be playing next season.
Mathematically, we are not there, so we need one week more. But it was a fantastic game. Fantastic game, fantastic support again from our fans. Big noise. They support our players from the beginning until the end. Very good atmosphere. And this is very important for us to feel our fans in our stadium. If you look, and if you really understand football and you watch this game, it's difficult to say which team are fighting for the promotion and which team are fighting to stay in the championship in the bottom of the table. We did very well. We create a lot of chances. We play much better in the first half. In the second half, they get some shots from outside. One touch the post. Actually, two touch the post, two shots from outside. My players did well. We create more chances in the second half again with G, Ovi, Barrow, Danny Loder. Very positive game. It was good because we played against West Bromwich, the second best attack in the league after Norwich. But the feeling is that we could get the 3 points and solve the situation in this game. Anyway, regarding all the work that we have been doing, we can say congratulations to all the Reading family, because we are building a very, very strong atmosphere in our stadium.
For all intents and purposes, we're safe. Reading are 6 points clear of Rotherham, with a 13-goal swing going into the last two games. Any hope that Rotherham, or any hope for Rotherham, that they were going to be able to turn that around? They are going to go to West Brom next week, and then they finish off their season at home to, well, Middlesbrough, who are one of the staunchest defences in the country. So it's over. Let's, for all intents and purposes, we've done it with two games to spare. There were wonderful scenes at the final whistle. A lot of players were celebrating in front of the fans, you know, the Club 1871 bit, which had 1,000 fans in it. Today was looking really good as well. Fantastic atmosphere across the whole ground as well. For certainly around the hour mark, as we picked up and it looked like we were going to score, it really was a great atmosphere to be in. So we're able to just bank today as a good day for the club and begin to, maybe over the next few weeks, but initially now, start to look at this as an achievement and consider what exactly it is that we've done. And Sim, would you say that this is an okay achievement, a good achievement, a great achievement, something that ultimately is still below expectations or given the circumstances as well as we could have possibly hoped for?
It's a weird one, really. It's kind of two emotions at the same time. It's kind of depressing that we're in this position in the first place, but also reassuring that having gone into this season with a lot of people thinking we are going to just be battling against relegation all season, and obviously that coming to pass, reassuring that we actually managed to get over the line in the end. I just really hope this is the start of a real turnaround, to be honest, because far too often, well, far too regularly in the last couple of years, we've just been in this vicious cycle, downward spiral, essentially, from the Premier League days onwards, and we really just need to properly stabilise and figure out what we want to be doing in the long term. And it's worrying that we've got into this position, that we're now kind of relieved to be staying up with two games to go, but we do really need to just make sure we're not here again.
Yeah, part of me really didn't want to celebrate at the final whistle. I know it's, you know, if fans who do want to celebrate it, I'm certainly not going to say that I'm saying it's the wrong thing to do, but part of me just thinks that this club and the players that we have and the financial backing that we have and, you know, the relative recent history that we have, it just didn't feel like the sort of thing that I can get too excited about for the second year in a row staying up. And this one wasn't by the skin of our teeth. It was certainly much more impressive. And at this stage of the season, we now have 2 points more than we finished with last season. So there is a tangible improvement that I think certainly in the last 6 months we can take forward with us. But yeah, ultimately, this is a season that I think in the long run is going to go down as one that we got through rather than one that we achieved. Obviously, next season will probably dictate that as well. If we go into the playoffs or if we have a good promotion push or, you know, get relegated, then this season will be a lot clearer in the history books. But for now, I don't know how you feel, but just for me, it just kind of seems like a kind of minimum expectation has been reached. And credit to Jose Gomez and all the players for getting there, because it certainly seemed like it wasn't going to be at some point. But to get to this stage is what had to happen, rather than what we've sort of, you know, reached and grasped, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So we'll go into look at the other teams in Reading Football Club in a second with news bites, and then, as I say, go on to Mailbag. And I want to ask him in any other business whether we'll take our foot off the pedal in a good or bad way for the Middlesbrough and Birmingham games to come, because it'll be certainly ironic now if we go and drop off completely now we've basically secured survival. So let's go now into news bites and hear what's been going on around the club this week.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast, by Reading fans, for Reading fans.
So let's start off with the Reading FC women's team then, who, after losing on penalties in their FA Cup semi-final, are almost set to finish fifth. Fifth is certainly the best they're going to get this season in the WSL. They beat Brighton 1-0 on the weekend, and they go to Everton on Sunday. A couple more games to go in their season. The under-23s won 3-2 at Aston Villa, with a Danny Loader double in the last 5 minutes in their last game. So they're currently level with Southampton and Wolves on the top of Premier League 2. They go to Stoke on the final game of the season on Friday. And then there's a bit of a question mark over Monday, 6th of May, because that is the Barks and Bucks Cup final, which Reading are in, as far as I'm aware, Sim. There's been a bit of controversy involving, you know, Slough, Town and players, various rules that we're not quite sure of. And what's your sort of knowledge of what's going on with this?
It's an odd one, really, because there's kind of, I think, quite complicated rules over what players are allowed to play in it and what other ones aren't, essentially. For most non-league sides, it's not too much of a problem. They just play their normal senior side. But other teams will be playing loan players or younger players that they might have loaned out to other clubs. And there are some complicated rules that I can't quite get my head around over who you're allowed to play and who you're not allowed to play. I believe because we, for example, loaned Romani Medford-Smith out to Weldston, he wasn't supposed to play or something like that. And Slough have loaned in, I think it was Matty Stevens from Peterborough, and weren't supposed to be playing him because he's played in a cup competition as well. And these problems were all kind of raised by the Marlow manager, who's very unhappy about it and thinks it's been the rules have been inconsistently applied across the board, and he kind of raised it on Twitter and really wasn't too happy about it. I don't blame him, but it's not set in stone what's going to happen now. We're still kind of just trying to wait to hear from the Barks and Bucks FA officials, essentially, to work out what's going to be happening. But it's not completely sure that Reading will be in the final or who will be playing if we do get there.
Yeah, very odd. And certainly when it gets to this level of football, with all due respect to Marlow and Slatana people, it's very difficult to keep on top of, because it's kind of, you know, unreported on, and there's no one really to keep on top of it for us. So we're basically just going to have to keep our ears to the ground and, you know, keep tuned to the tylersten.com and the Twitter and Facebook pages, where any news on that, we will put it online. And as far as we know, there's a game on Monday the 6th. I believe it's Slough, which Reading may or may not be playing in. But certainly Reading have qualified us. We beat Maidenhead on penalties in the semi-final. So we'll see what goes on with that one. And finally, the under-18s bounced back from an 8-0 loss to Arsenal with a 3-0 win over West Ham. And they now basically assured of 10th place. There's too big a gap either side of them in the Premier League First Division for anything to happen with that. They go have Chelsea on Saturday as they round off their season, as I say, with 10th in the Premier League guaranteed. And also some Tylersten news in that the Star podcast, the Supporters Trust at Reading podcast is, or the Maiden Star podcast, I should say, is hopefully going to be taking place this week or in the next couple of weeks. Basically, if you see this pop up on your feed, this is just Star's magazine, Reading Matter, is their kind of summary of the season and where they view everything. And how they're doing as an organisation themselves, Supporters Trust at Reading, for those who aren't familiar. We'll be having a short podcast with them just to sort of update everyone on that, and that should go live later in the week. So let's move on then and go to the mailbag.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tylehurst End
and facebook.com/thetylehurstend.
Because it's, well, about 4 hours since the game finished as we're recording this, it's a very thin mailbag this week, Sim. So there is one question. It's a good question, though, so I'm happy that it's the only question. It's Calvin on Twitter asking, easy one, guys. What will be the first 11 for the first game of the 2019-20 season? And I'll allow us to pick the trialist, or an other, as it were, as the players that we're going to sign. And obviously, starting with the goalkeeper position, I don't know if you're going to stand up and say that Emiliano Martinez will be with us next season, but I'm afraid I think it'll be another goalkeeper. I think we'll have to go in and sign one, basically, and whoever's there will be in front of Sam Walker in terms of the pecking order for the new season.
Calvin doesn't make it easy with his question, does he? what I will say with a position like goalkeeper, obviously it's very much up in the air as to what the club's plans are for it, but what I will say in quite an optimistic tone is that, considering Reading have gone out and got 5 very high calibre players, I would say, in January, considering our position in the league at the time when we recruited them, if we can do that in January, getting these loan players in, I'm sure we can do it in the summer as well, or something vaguely comparable in terms of the quality of the players that we're going to be bringing in. There's a lot of goalkeepers out there. There's a lot of talented goalkeepers who can play around with their feet and play out from the back and offer something in that vein. It's not just Emi Martinez. I know he's been absolutely fantastic for us, but there are going to be other talented goalkeepers out there.
Yeah, there are plenty more fish in the sea, as they say.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I couldn't have put it better. And it's not just with a new goalkeeper, but elsewhere in the side, if we're going to have to, say, replace Baker with a more ball-playing midfielder in the summer if he doesn't stay around, there's going to be candidates like that. Similarly with Miazga and Oliveira and Ajara throughout that set. One thing that we haven't really kind of discussed too much, it's been quite quiet, is the influence or apparent influence of Kiarra Abiturien, who I think came out at the end of 2018, was apparently back involved with the club again. And certainly by the calibre of the loan signings we made in January, it might suggest that he had some hand in getting those players over the line for us. So I do wonder if we're going to be looking at a similar quality of players in the summer.
Well, I hope so. But Gomez has said a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be looking at 3 cheap, young and loan players, which says to me that we're going to be sort of picking up here and there, and maybe sort of hedging our bets with, you know, if we want a centre back, maybe we'll sign two or three just to see which one will work out. Kind of as we did in Jaap Stam's first season with, you know, the likes of Sandro Weiser coming in just as a, you know, maybe they'll work but probably won't sort of thing. Into the defence, I'd have to say that I think Yadon Moore and Blackett are probably going to stick around. Would Blackett be the first choice left back? I think he probably would, because the first game of the 2019-20 season probably won't be soon enough for Jordan Obita, and therefore I think we'll probably just sort of keep on with that. And another centre back, because I don't think Matt Miazga is going to stick around. So those are my four defenders. I don't know about yourself.
I wouldn't rule out Miazga coming back. He's quite similar to Lewis Baker in that he's the part of the notoriously large Chelsea loan army, and I don't quite see him getting involved with Chelsea's first team next season. He might very well go out on loan again, but he's picked up some really good form here, so it would be a bit silly for him to just completely count it out, and maybe even we'll be able to get him back on loan from Chelsea if they can see how well he's coming on at Reading. If we can persuade them to give him another go with us, then we're in a good position. Obita's the interesting question, because he was obviously ruled out for the season, but don't know how long it's going to be until he comes back. I wouldn't be putting too much pressure on him to come back. To be honest, it's a very serious, very long-term injury. You don't need to be rushing him to come back. And with Blackett and Gunter both able to play there, I thought Gunter did very well, actually.
And left of back course, today. Omar Richards.
Exactly, who seemingly has kind of disappeared at the moment. I believe he's injured at the moment, but either way, his progress towards the first team has annoyingly slowed down, which would be frustrating for him. But I don't see too much need to bring in another left back in terms of a signing. Ditto right back, and hopefully Liam Moore will not have another transfer saga this summer.
Yeah, I could certainly do without that. Then into the midfield, I'm optimistic that Baker's going to stay. Ajari is another one. I think if we want him, we can probably have him, because Liverpool aren't quite the same club as Chelsea in terms of their, you know, youth player policy. But I think they'll perhaps be encouraged by how well he's played and happy to stick him here again. I'd say, obviously not with Ajari, but with Baker and Matt Miazga being quite geographically close to where I imagine these Chelsea players are living, will play in our favour a little bit. And then Winamata, I think, will stick around. Talking generally about centre midfield, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a place we're going to throw loads of money at next season, because if we can bring these loan players back in, the sort of, I think we've got reasonable depth, and you know, players like Michael Olise are going to keep hopefully being around the team, and I think Gomez will say he'd rather have a core group of players who know exactly how to play his game rather than just sort of fill the squad with, you know, when we've brought in the likes of Myler and Edwards, players who are decent players in their own right to an extent, but just don't really know how to play the style. And with a position as important as centre mid, I'd be happy with just nailing down four, you know, maybe five players who can actually do the job that we want them to do.
Exactly. You need the consistency and the reliability. And I think when you compare Jose Gomez to Jaap Stam, particularly in the in terms of how they built their midfield, Jaap Stam just didn't have enough technical ability, particularly in his second season, to really make his system work. But one of the reasons why I think Jose Gomez has done particularly well in the couple of months that he's been here, he has had technically good midfielders. Renamota can keep the ball, Baker can keep the ball, Ejara and Swift as well, obviously. So that is going to be really important, and Obviously, it'd be preferable to keep the lone players that we do have, because obviously Ajari and Baker have settled in particularly nicely. But otherwise, if you can't bring them in, you might have to look back at the loan market to find a technically gifted midfielder, but young midfielder from a top four side in the Premier League.
Which are players that, to be honest, I think there's probably an absolute abundance of those. Whether they're mentally or physically, etc., there is another question. But I think technically gifted centre midfielders are, you know, I think their Premier League academy sides will wash with them. So hopefully that can play in our favour. And finally, the attack. In terms of the first 11 for the first game of next season, I can't imagine Oliveira, Barrow and Mate being changed around too much. I can't imagine a club coming in for Mate or Barrow. Mate is probably the most likely one. And then at Oliveira, I think, barring any financial catastrophe, I believe that I'm relatively confident that Norwich don't want him enough for us to be able to go and pick him up, and I don't think we'll have too much competition in doing so. So that as a starting 11, I think is a very decent place to start. Obviously, how the squad fills out, how the future of players like Omar Richards and Liam Kelly unfolds is going to have an impact. You're going to have loan players such as Mark McNulty returning, John Dalibod Varson, all these sort of players who have been in and around the club when it's not been doing so well are going to have to, there's going to have to be a place for them somewhere or elsewhere. So as a starting 11, I would have to say that's a pretty good basis for next season.
Yeah, it is, I guess. But as you suggest, beefing out that squad is going to be difficult, making sure that we do have enough cover across the squad. For me, particularly out wide, Mate and Barrow have done very well in the last couple of weeks. But after them, Gareth McCleary's only getting older. Callum Harriott, it looks like he's probably going to leave on free at the end of the season. So we do need to make sure we've got some pace and creativity out there. It's not a position that we're well stocked in with regards to the academy, so we're likely to have to look into a loan signing or a free transfer if we can pick one up.
Well, obviously Sonny Aluko's still on the books, so if we get absolutely desperate, who knows if we fancy bringing him back. But yeah, that's the sort of area that I think is most wise for us to invest in that attack, because if everything seems to be loan players pending falling into place. But that is obviously a conversation that we'll have plenty of times over the next few weeks to come. And we'll finish this show then with a look at the weekend trip to Middlesbrough.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any other business?
So, Sim, you've got a long trip next Saturday. It's hopefully not going to be too bad for you. Probably not going to be too sunny compared to this weekend at least. But first question, obviously, is what inflatable are you taking up to the Riverside?
I think last year it was a big inflatable champagne bottle that I took out to Cardiff, which was a lot of fun. I can't imagine we'll have too many fans going up there, but hopefully more than last year. But it's a good opportunity to just have a good day out and enjoy it. To be honest, the fact that we've essentially secured our championship status for another year, it's a source of celebration, I'm sure, and hopefully a good amount of fans can go up and just enjoy some football for a change.
Yeah, the fact that we're going up stress-free is a very different sort of atmosphere. And how do you think the players are going to react to that? Because in a way, you can spin it that we're going to have no pressure, we're going to be able to play some samba football, we've got the potential, depending on who's fit and available, to turn it on and have a bit of swagger about us and maybe do well. Or on the other hand, we could be on the beach already, we could mentally say, well, that's this season done, dusted. Up against the Middlesbrough team, of course, that's still chasing the playoffs and have a lot of pressure on themselves, might not go our favour. So which do you think is most likely at this point in time?
I think the players will just try and enjoy it as much as they can, but obviously the manager's not going to have that same mentality as them. They're going to go up there in terms of the players without much pressure. They just want to enjoy the occasion. But from Jose Gomez's point of view, it's really important that we go up there and play as well as we can and give ourselves a bit of momentum going into the summer. If you can finish the season as well as possible, then it does potentially set you up that little bit better for the summer and that little bit better for next season. So it's going to be an interesting clash for me between what the manager wants out of the game and what the players want out of the game. They're not going to be quite as driven, quite as intent on putting in as good a performance as possible. I don't blame them, but it's important that the manager gets as much out of them as possible.
Yeah, and that sort of pressure that's going to be on Middlesbrough as well. They've had a short-lived revival, 3 wins in a row, and then a 3-0 defeat at Forest on Monday. Only 21 goals scored, 19 conceded at home. That's 9 wins, 15th best in the league, which for a promotion-chasing team, and the players they have and the manager they have, simply isn't good enough. And I don't know, how do you think that's going to impact the game as well? Because it reminds me of a time we went to Derby on the last game of the season a few years ago and won 3-0. Just because we could and because they were awful, even though they were higher in the table than us. And do you think that's sort of plausible to happen, or do you think Boa, you know, is actually kind of the wrong time to play them, and that they're going to have to react to that 3-0 defeat to Forest and will come out and get a good result against us?
Well, the pressure's certainly going to be on them, on Middlesbrough, and when the pressure's off us, but on them, that can throw up some really interesting results, as you mentioned, the Derby one, when we went there with no fear, no pressure, and that can really weigh down on a team, particularly when they're playing at home. I think the relationship between their fans and Tony Pulis isn't particularly good. So if you get kind of 45, 60 minutes into the game and it's still 0-0 or Reading take the lead, then you're really going to see a lot of pressure on the home team. You're really going to see a lot of nerves, and hopefully we can take advantage of that.
Well, let's finish off the show with the predictions as per usual then. And things are really hotting up at the top of the table in the after the Easter weekend results. Yourself, Sim and Dan Wimbush picked up 2 points with 2 draws each. Ollie, Westy and Handbags both picked, all three picked up a point as they predicted 1 draw. And that means that Ollie is currently top of the table on 34 points. Handbags and Johnny Williams on 33. Wim on 32. Just a quick note as well is that I haven't currently got the scores for this at the moment, but if it does finish in a tie, the winner will be chosen on countback, basically in terms of how many points they thought Reading were going to get over the season compared to how many they did. So, for example, if Ollie thinks that, you know, if he basically just predicted wins all the time and he thinks we're going to get 106 points, he's unlikely to take it on the tie against someone who's a bit more sort of balanced in how they've got the results. So I should also mention that last year's winner Westy and Tom Crocker were currently tied on 20 for the Wooden Spoon, with myself and Sim just edging out of that race in sort of very Premier League-esque, this prediction league actually, in the sense that there's the sort of top four that are miles ahead of everyone else, and then the rest have dropped off considerably. But with that in mind, Sim, given that we have still technically got something to fight for, we haven't survived yet, unlike Reading, what is your prediction for the Middlesbrough game?
I fancy us to spring a surprise, actually, now that we've gone through that and established that it's going to be more difficult for Middlesbrough than us, probably. I can see us getting a 1-0 win, actually. I fancy us to go there and just nick something and really frustrate Middlesbrough.
Yeah, very wise to pick some prediction with low scores at the moment. And I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to say 1-0 Middlesbrough, because I think we will kind of experience that drop off. It's only natural. I won't blame the players too much so long as they keep it respectable. And Middlesbrough's a nervy sort of 1-0 win. I think it certainly doesn't solve their problems, but probably where I think is most likely to for this game to land at the moment. So that draws to a close episode 193 of the Tile Stem podcast. We'll be back probably next Monday for the post-Boa game, post-Boa podcast. And Sim, thanks for joining us this week. It's almost an odd feeling, isn't it, to say that we're actually safe now, isn't it? But we've got over the line, and finally we can sort of sit back and relax as Reading fans.
I'm delighted to just talk about it without the ifs and buts and what are Rotherham going to do next week and all of this, and just sit back and relax and just enjoy some football for a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Those are the two words that I want to really sort of press as the way that I'm approaching the final two games of the season. Stress-free. We can go out there, up at Boa, no pressure on ourselves to get a result. If we do, brilliant. If not, doesn't matter. Then final game of the season at home to Birmingham. Both teams should certainly by then be mathematically safe, and just enjoy a lovely game of football with Reading, showing that there is that little spark of momentum growing into next season, and next season is where we'll be much quicker than you think, actually. So for now, with 2 games left to go in the season, Reading are safe. Come on, you arse. Yeah.
fire, you smile. Funny how the crowns always leave a trail, even when it seems on your tail. Funny how I always leave a trail, you smile, why? What's the use then on this side of the tree? Please tell me why. Oh, why don't you break this old biscuit? Come on.